Haines gets its first cruise ship a week early, and some prices for ferry services are going up. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Well, in the midst of formulating the budget for fiscal year 2014, the Haines Borough Assembly on Tuesday made some adjustments to this year's budget to include a new tanker truck for the fire department and new dump truck. And after a maneuver to not fund those items, Assemblyman Norm Smith was able to leverage his vote and include new chairs for the assembly. The issue went down like this. First of all, Smith, who has complained recently about the comfort of the 20-year-old chairs, refused to use his assembly chair on Tuesday night. Before the meeting, he switched his chair with one from the audience chairs. Then there was a matter of attendance at Tuesday's meeting. With two assembly members absent, all four members present would have to vote unanimously for any action to pass. So, the assembly took up an ordinance on the recommendation of manager Mark Ernest. It was to fund $10,000 for a LUTAC dock survey, $150,000 for a tanker truck, and $160,000 for a dump truck from funds still available in the 2013 budget. The dump truck had been included in next year's budget, but with funds available and the need persistent, Ernest suggested the borough fund it now and save the money in the 2014 budget. Ernest explained his reasoning for the amendments, and there was no discussion from the assembly, leading to the assumption the motion was about to easily pass. But when Smith did not raise his hand during the vote, Clerk Julie Causey and Mayor Stephanie Scott questioned Smith about his intention. He confirmed he was voting no. The mayor seemed to be moving on with the agenda at that point, but Assemblymember Steve Vick asked if Smith could clarify why he didn't vote for the motion. Smith said he agreed the borough needed a new tanker truck.
I think it's a great thing to upgrade that, but there's other issues here. I think that I would like to see the manager amend the budget, this budget ordinance, to include the assembly chair's appropriation of $2,300. And if we do that, then I'll vote for this.
A $2,300 appropriation for purchasing new assembly chairs was included in the manager's budget for next year. But last month, half the assembly opposed that addition in light of other cuts the manager deemed necessary for next year. A motion to remove the chairs from the budget narrowly passed in April, with Mayor Scott having to break the tie vote. The budget is still yet to be finalized. But on Tuesday, because of his voting power to block the fire tanker and dump truck, Smith asked for a reconsideration of his vote and then amended the motion to include the money for the new chairs in this year's budget. The amendment passed unanimously among the four assembly members present. However, the chairs are not a foregone conclusion yet. The ordinance still has another hearing at the next meeting before it is adopted. Also Tuesday, the assembly moved along the process of the FY14 budget. While the assembly has met in several committee meetings about the budget, few amendments or changes have been proposed yet. Mayor Scott encouraged the assembly to start bringing forth amendments for the budget by the next meeting if they expect any are needed. She said that would allow time for public input.
The recommendation from the finance director that we do not introduce significant amendments to the budget at the third public hearing, because then it doesn't give the community a chance to weigh in on those amendments.
The assembly also postponed an executive session plan Tuesday to discuss the process around the complaints and separation agreement with former police chief Gary Lowe. That executive session will instead take place at a June meeting. Also, the assembly had a brief discussion about recent communications with Alaska Power and Telephone about the Connolly Lake project. AP&T is looking for the borough assembly to vocalize its support for the continued study of the project. AP&T representatives may be traveling to Haines next month to appeal directly to the assembly in person. We'll have more on that story in our Thursday evening newscast. The cruise season started early in Haines on Wednesday when the Holland American ship Stadendam was diverted to Haines because of high winds in Skagway. Skagway Tourism Director Buckwheat Donahue said the ship was approaching the harbor early Wednesday when the captain decided high winds made it too dangerous to dock. Three of the four scheduled ships for Skagway did dock Wednesday morning, but the Stadendam turned around to come to Haines. It docked about 9 a.m. Haines Tourism Director Tanya Carlson said local tour operators started getting phone calls about the arrival early in the morning, so they were able to swing into action and make some tours available for visitors. The Fort Seward neighborhood and shops were busy with foot traffic from the ship until shuttle service was also able to get up and running in late morning and take visitors to other parts of town. The first major cruise ship wasn't scheduled to dock in Haines until next Wednesday, although one smaller ship arrived earlier this week. Skagway has been hosting ships since May 3rd. The Staddendam was scheduled to leave Haines Wednesday night and head back south. So long to summer drivers riding the ferry for free, and goodbye to the winter round-trip discount. Printed schedules are also on their way out. These changes are just some of the ways the Alaska Marine Highway plans to address a $3.5 million spending cut mandated by the legislature. Ferry Business Enterprise Director Dick Leary announced the cuts at Tuesday's Marine Transportation Advisory Board meeting. He said managers did not want to cut sailings where tickets had already been sold. That means no reductions to the summer schedule that runs through September.
We also feel very strongly that the winter schedule as it now exists is a bare-bottom service level, and so if possible, we don't want to cut any of the winter schedule. And that takes us from October 1st to April 30th. So, of course, you put one and two together, and you only got May and June left.
Managers also agreed that none of the system's 35 port communities should lose service for an extended amount of time. But there will be some cuts. The Taku will not operate on its Prince Rupert to Juneau run in June of 2014. That reduces sailings to Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, Cake, and Sitka. Another ship, the Malaspina, will continue to offer that service. The Juneau-based fast ferry Fairweather will sail less often during the first 2 weeks of May. That affects Sitka and Lynn Canal routes. Business Director Leary said other cuts such as driver's ride free and round-trip discount programs were chosen to avoid further service reductions. Board Chairman Robert Venables of Haines said the Marine Highway should think about further reductions.
It was obvious that the legislature is squeezing all areas of the state budget, and that's going to be a trend I think that's going to continue for the foreseeable future. This year's cuts were probably more of a nick than an amputation.
Officials said they would consider raising ticket prices and retiring ferries if further cuts come in future years. We'll have more details about the discussion of shuttle ferries at the meeting on Thursday evening. A second measure transferring Tongass National Forest lands to Sea Alaska is going before Congress on Thursday. It's stopgap legislation turning 3,600 acres over to the Southeast Base Regional Native Corporation. Two parcels are proposed, one on the Cleveland Peninsula and the other at Election Creek on Prince of Wales Island. A much larger bill before Congress would transfer about 70,000 acres. Sea Alaska's CEO Chris McNeil says it's needed to keep logging operations going.
Obviously, we'd like the more systemic bill, but it's important for us to be able to recognize that we have important timing and the operational considerations to achieve. And that's the reason why there's the second bill, which is really a subset of the first.
Both measures are sponsored by Alaska Congressman Don Young. They and four others will go before the Alaska Committee on Natural Resources Subcommittee on Indian and Alaska Native Affairs at 10 a.m. Thursday, Alaska time. Similar legislation is before the Senate. The House version of the larger measure includes more of what Sea Alaska asked for. The Senate bill is the result of negotiations with environmental groups, small communities, tour operators, and other critics. Young's measures are House Bill 740 and House Resolution 1306. The main Senate bill, sponsored by Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich, is Senate Bill 340. And a few Skagway runners made an impressive showing at the Region 5 meet in Juneau last weekend. Coach Ken Feldman said senior Eric Cochran won the 800, 1600, and 3200 at the meet. He was also the high individual scorer in the entire meet with 30 points. According to athletic.net, which tracks athletic stats, Cochran now holds the fourth fastest 3200 and the seventh fastest 1600 in small schools in Alaska. Other runners for Skagway included freshman Trevor Cox, who finished fifth in the 800 and 3200, and Alexandra Weber, who finished fifth in the 3200. The students will now head to the state meet in Fairbanks this coming weekend. Also headed to state this weekend are several Haines students who fared well at the regional meet. Haines students will be competing in several boys' events, including high jump, triple jump, 400-meter, 4x400, and 4x800 relay, and long jump. Girls will be competing in the discus and 4x800 and 4x100 relay teams. Serena Badgley won the 100-meter dash and triple jump at the regionals to go to state, and Alicia Young nabbed first in discus and shot put at regions to send her to state as well. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Don't forget, you can always visit us online at khns.org or on our KHNS News Facebook page. On our KHNS News webpage, you can also find more than just your local news. We have links to news sources from around the region, state, greater U.S., and Canada. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.